Very much, operator. Thank you, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On this this call today, the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group call on the 21st of December, we have Rafik Adamek, we have Eric Iarte Ahon, we have John Kong Yao, Jun Seo, Edmund Chung, Steve Metallis, Steve Crocker, and from staff we have Dave Piscatello and Julie Hedlund. Have I missed anyone?
Rob Hutchinson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob Hutchinson. I'm sorry about that. Yes, we also have Rob Hutchinson. Thank you very much. Edmund, would you like me to read off the agenda?
Yeah, I guess it's probably good that you would actually take the lead on the agenda and run the meeting.
That's great. I'll do that. Thank you very much, Edmund. So for our agenda today, we will continue our discussion of the scope of the working group and perhaps then proceed to a discussion of the work plan and a timeline and deliverables. Does anyone have anything that they would like to add to the agenda? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and proceed. Perhaps what I could do at this point is remind everybody what a little bit of the discussion, what a little of the discussion was from our meeting 2 weeks ago on the 7th of December. We continued a discussion of the scope of the working group. Dave Piscatello spoke a little bit about the survey that he had conducted of the International Postal Union requirements, and that, you know, based on that, a possible requirement could be displaying data in also a local script. There was some discussion of the degree of difficulty for displaying data in local script, and also there was a question as to whether it might be useful to survey some CCTLDs with some specific questions on how registries currently receive and display data. Although there was a note that the goals of CCTLDs might be different from those of GTLDs. There was also discussion about what was in scope for the working group, and Dave Piscatello noted that the working group would not necessarily have to suggest changes to the way that data is collected today. Edmund suggested it might be useful to prepare a checklist of possible requirements for receiving and displaying internationalized registration data and to use that list to decide what is or what is not in the scope of the working group. So I think that summarizes much of the discussion to this point. So at this point, we would continue the discussion of the scope of the working group, and perhaps we could start with this suggestion of preparing a checklist of possible requirements for receiving and displaying internationalized registration data. I'm wondering if those on the call have some thoughts on this point.
Julie, this is Dave Piscatello.
Yes, please.
I started to scribble down some notes, and I guess, you know, sort of one of the obvious requirements would be some discriminator, some way to identify the character set that is being stored and would be displayed, so that one could know that that you know, UTF-8 is being used or ASCII-7 is being used or UTF-16 or whatever. And so I would think that that might be one way not only to be able to identify a character set, but if there were more than one present, distinguish among among those present. I also think that given the amount of requests that we've had and the amount of concern that's been expressed by law enforcement and other parties, that it would be useful for the information to be machine readable. And so again, that plays to having strong identification, so that the machine can say, okay, I'm looking at this particular character set. Now I understand how to interpret the individual characters.
The next thing
that follows from having the ability to recognize the character set for individual characters would be discriminators that would allow you to identify or type the data so that you would like to know that a particular field contains a number and it should only contain a number, like a fax or a phone. And then maybe another way of typing data that would help prevent people from submitting illegal characters that could be used to subvert a web interface, as an example, would be to have a strong syntax so that data would be typed and, for example, you wouldn't allow special characters in a contact name, like an ampersand or a hyphen or a star or something like that. I guess hyphen actually would probably be valuable. But it could be a defined set that would be appropriate. I think the biggest concern is to eliminate the kinds of characters that could be used to do a cross-site scripting attack or to emulate a command line on a PC or a Unix machine. So I know I've dug way down into the depths of the data. I'm sure that there are probably higher level requirements, but I just wanted to kick us off a little bit.
This is one thing I wanted to offer up is that it occurred to me a while ago when we first started that this is a topic for which the W3C might have some expertise to bring to bear, since they have dealt with user interface issues on the web forever and ever. I sent a query off to Thomas Ressler opening up the subject, and he sent me back a reply, and I'll pass it along on the list. The short of it was, yes, they'd be interested, but it would probably take some money for them to get involved, and I'm not sure where we want to go with that. But nonetheless, I think the idea is that they have must have considerable depth in this area that we're just beginning to think about, and there might be a positive way forward by engaging with them.
Thank you, Steve. That's very helpful, and thank you, Dave. Other comments on either the suggestions, either of these suggestions?
This is Edmund. I think that's getting
Edmund, you're breaking up. We're not. Edmund, we're having a very difficult time hearing you. We're just getting just fractions of what you're saying. I think Edmund is going to call back in.
Yeah, Julie, the conferences are having a little bit of trouble. I got knocked off in the middle of, I think it was Steve's discussion.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I'll send a message to the operator, let her know we're having trouble. We can just Wait a moment.
I had a question for Dave. You seem to be opening up encoding to any ISO mechanism. Is that correct, or am I misinterpreting what you're saying, Dave? And,
I'm saying that if that is going to be something that would, you know, would be a recommendation out of the group, then, you know, then it would be necessary to be able to discriminate what coding you're actually using.
Yeah.
And you know, as you remember from prior calls, you know, one of the things that I've mentioned several times is that it might be interesting to, you know, to consider that there is a, you know, there would be a mandatory sort of base encoding, and that there would be optional encodings to satisfy local local user needs. So in the model that I've envisioned, and this is by no means an ICANN position or, you know, or anyone else's position, but in the model that seems to make sense from the many perspectives that I've heard, having something that everyone can recognize, which would be the debabilizing language, plus a local language, would be very attractive. If you do that, you need to be able to say, the debabilizing language is this one over here, and this other language I've chosen to also record registration data for the convenience of my most common users is this one over here. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Let me plumb a little bit further in terms of your assumptions. I was wondering whether or not you believe there's any corollary between the domain name registration script and the script that's being used to record the address of the registrant.
You mean the encoding of for example, an IDN name? And the encoding and the character encoding of the contact information?
Yes. In other words, there's apparently there's a lot of effort that goes into saying what script characters you can use for a particular language. Okay.
I see. Okay, so there's two levels to that. Two levels to answer that, Steve. One is that just to make absolutely certain, I'm not advocating that we use a label encoding for information that would capture registration data other than the domain name. So I would not imagine that what we would have is something that would provide a XN dash dash gibberish that translated back to Dave Piscatello if I were the registrant. That's the first clarification. The second clarification, I think, is that you're asking, would it be appropriate for someone to submit their name where David contained an A that was contained a D that was from the US ASCII 7 character set and an A that came from a Cyrillic set? Is that what you're getting to?
I see that Edmund has joined us as well. Edmund, did you? I know you were trying to comment before when we weren't able to hear you. Did you want to comment?
Sure. Sorry about it. Am I coming through better now?
We can hear you fine now. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about it. I was just actually being, I think it was Steve, talking about getting some participation from W3C. I think that's probably that should be definitely be a good idea. I was going to respond also to the idea about character set, and I dropped off for a while and rejoined, so I wasn't sure what was asked in between, but I think we came back to the issue of sort of character set. Two things about it. One is that besides having some sort of a tag, it's probably good important to consider whether we want blocks of data in different encoding, and how we encode it is probably something that might need to be talked about later as well. But maybe one of the discussions is whether we would have blocks of data rather than sort of a tag for each field of data. Whether that that might be something we might want to consider. The other thing, I sort of caught the discussion when I rejoined about the domain name, the language tag for a domain name versus a character set or a language tag for registration data. I think it's probably not useful to try to guess the language or the character set. But rather, we should have specific, we shouldn't guess the language of the registration data with the language of the domain name registered, but rather we should really, think about it as potentially that they may be different, even though that, perhaps in many situations they could be the same. I don't think it's the best idea to restrict it to that way or make guesses based on the domain name itself. I probably missed some of the discussion, so that might not be valid at all.
Yeah, this is Dave Piscitol, and I dropped off again, and I apologize. I'm not certain why I'm having so much trouble today. When I was talking about the domain name encoding, I was essentially advocating that we already have a standard for that field, and there's no need for us to be venturing into that that well-trodden space. I think that because of the way that A labels are encoded, it's not even necessary to know what language the domain name happens to represent, and I agree with you that I should be able to, as an English-speaking person, register a domain name in Chinese if I choose. So I don't think that there should be any restriction on the character set that is used by a registrant to compose a domain name, other than the existing restrictions that that IDN guidelines provide. Does that make that clearer?
It probably does. I just there's one area that I think as we go down this discussion, I think it's probably important for us to distinguish between when we talk about language or script versus when we talk about character set is they are probably very different things. Although there are some sort of overlap there, but it's probably better if we be very clear in terms of, when we talk about character set versus when we talk about the language.
This is Crocker.
And I agree with you. I am not the IDN expert here, and I have always deferred to Tina or one of the other people who have spent so much time in the IDN space to help me with the formal and correct language once I have something that I'd like to say and write down. So I think if there are places where you can actually change or educate me, I'm more than happy to learn what those differences are. They just simply escape me because I don't have a that much experience in using characters other than, you know, extended Roman for, you know, for Spanish.
Let me ask a question here, Dave and Edmund. This is Crocker. For domain names, typically I would think you would want them in a single script. That is, you can look at it and say this is all Greek or this is all Mandarin or something. But for whois registration, I can easily imagine that you might have a name that is in one script and then its location, say the address information, to correspond to another script. So you may want to have, for example, a Chinese name that is then operating out of, say, Korea, and that you might want to use different scripts for those two parts of the whole entry. I'm making this up, so Edmund, you're probably a lot closer to this and can comment on whether or not this makes any sense at all.
Yes, I do think it makes sense. I mean, that's why I brought up the issue that the language of the domain that's being registered may not be the language of what the registration data, the contact data, or, you know, those kind of things may be. So maybe one of the things that we want to consider is how we capture that and whether we do capture that or not, and, you know, whether we the initial discussion was that started this discussion was the suggestion that at least there should be some sort of a tag for a character set. I think that's probably useful, but before we go into that, maybe a higher level decision is, you know, whether we might have whether we might have blocks of data, or rather, you know, that we just simply tag certain amounts of data. That was really just the gist of my point.
Yeah, there is actually a precedent for that in the data escrow requirements for ICANN GTLD registries. If you go and you look at, like, Appendix 5, I think I was just looking at it this morning, that's why I know this, in the .arrow agreement, and I think it's present in other agreements, there is a description of the XML document components that are required for escrow. And, in fact, there is a registrar chunk and then or block, and then there's a contact information block, and there's a registrant name. So as you say, it's very possible to not have to necessarily strongly type every single individual element of the contact information, but if it were appropriate and if it was necessary to consider Steve Crocker's scenario, then in fact you could do that, in the data structure that you create.
Yeah, I guess the point I was trying to make was a little subtler in that you can point in that block, you can point to either some character set representation, a tag of that nature, or you can attempt to leverage the work that's gone into creating scripts in IDNs, not at the Punycode level, but at the level above that, that basically says these characters are allowed to be used in this class of languages, my question was, is that relevant to this? Okay, and I don't really know. I'm curious at this point what you know, Dave.
Well, I think I mentioned at the outset. I thought that it would be valuable to actually consider excluding characters that are known to be used primarily for malicious purposes. I don't know that, for example, if I went through the ASCII 7 character set, I don't know that I've ever seen a name composed with an asterisk. However, I know that an asterisk can be used for wildcarding purposes in a malicious insertion of data in a web script. So I'm trying. Is that what you're trying to sort of exclude in the characters that you're talking about?
Well, just a reference to a character set, okay, is a pretty wild reference. There's a lot of character sets out there that have been used over time, and they're, like you say, there is no constraint on it. In other words, you say, here, I'm using this character set, and I can use any character out of that character set with this tag. That's one approach, and it has its pitfalls, okay? And I basically was saying that I was curious as to whether or not, in order to discriminate characters within a character set, you would impose or utilize some sort of encoding that's leveraging the work that's going on in the IDM area. And that was just my question. It seems like it might be appropriate, but maybe not. Maybe Steve Crocker's example is sort of useful, although the other piece that I don't know is, I would think that all human names are representable in the character sets that IDNs are being done. I don't know of anybody who would say, "Oh, in Arabic, you couldn't represent this person's name, therefore you have to use the whole character set." Okay. So I'm assuming that whatever is adopted for IDNs is a superset of whatever names that you would need to get described, okay? And maybe that's not a legitimate assumption.
This is Edmund. I think I finally got the question. Sorry, I missed it earlier on because I dropped off. I think that is that's probably not the right assumption, even if you, for example, take really Roman-based languages. The IDN character, the repertoire of characters acceptable for IDNs is really a small subset of characters that are being used for a particular language. Even for names such as in even French, I guess, or even English, there would be apostrophes or ampersands or different types of symbols which would not be encoded into, well, allowed into IDNs, and thus the encoding method they're in probably isn't it's not the most appropriate to use. So, and there are certain situations for other languages as well. So specifically on if we're just talking about an overarching sort of encoding for everything and contemplating on whether the Punicode mechanism, if you will, is the best way to go about it, then I would say probably it's something we might want to stay away from, because the whole premise of IDN was when it was designed was to make it really a subset rather than a superset.
This is Yao-Jian Kang. Since IDN is based on Unicode has defined all the language characters. So Unicode almost includes all the language characters. So if we just now discuss the characters, I think it's not necessary because IDE is based on Unicode. Unicode already defined, has a unified character set. Include every almost every character set. IDE has two forms. One is A label, is ASCII or ACE label. Another is UTF-8 based Unicode encoding. So our international registration data can also be have two forms. The first is English based data, for example, A label. Another is for U label. U label can display some local language. For registration or registrar got the data, they may be stored the data in UTF-8 or local language. But if it is displayed to the information to the customer or user, they may, the first one is English, another one is UTF-8 characters. Since UTF-8 is one kind of storage form of Unicode, so Unicode including every characters. So I think this can solve the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Zhang Kang. This is Julie. Do we have some additional comments on some of these suggestions?
This is Edmund. I think one sort of suggestion is, I think all the discussion was really constructive and useful, but perhaps, you know, really to, if we, going forward, it's probably more useful to have sort of a framework for discussion, and I think that's sort of the next part of the agenda. When we talk about, you know, the timelines and approaches for really bringing the discussion into a some sort of structure. So that's sort of what I'm thinking.
This is Julie. Thank you, Edmund. I think that's perhaps a good transition. In looking at our charter, there are some suggestions for deliverables, and there has been, you know, some work that has already been completed. You know, we have had a webinar and also a presentation at Seoul. Our next sort of the next suggested action was for the IRD working group to produce a study of the feasibility and suitability of producing display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data. And I guess, do we want to move to a discussion of the framework for this study, what we want to consider, what we don't want to consider as a working group? I've heard, you know, quite a bit of discussion on this call and other calls of where we might want to look for, you know, for information, and then also those areas that we consider out of scope or that are being dealt with elsewhere. Since I'm not a technical expert in this area, I'd defer to others of you for some ideas of how we might proceed to the next step, and that is perhaps putting together an outline for what we think the study might be.
This is Edmund. What is, I'm sorry, I should know this, but I don't. But what is the next deliverable, and, you know, what are the next few deliverables actually, and that we need to work on?
This is Julie. Thank you, Edmund. That's a very good question. The charter is very broad. It was really just a sort of a suggested starting point for the working group, and the working group can adjust it as it sees fit. The next step is to develop a study. That really is right now in the charter the sole next and sort of final deliverable for this working group, the study of the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications for internationalized registration data. What this study should be, what it should look at, is something that I think we're discussing here. But that is, at least in the charter, the draft charter, what is our only deliverable at this point. And that is...
Okay, so if I can... I just... Because that's a little bit vague for me. Who does the study? Does this group do the study, or this group should form a set of criteria for staff to do the study? That perhaps can help clarify a little bit more.
This is Julie Edmund. That's an excellent question. Dave, do you have some thoughts on that as well?
I think that it would be fair to say that there is expertise among the community that would be essential for staff to actually complete this work. And so I would think that, frankly, I think that a lot of the people that signed up for this committee would be exactly the people that could contribute in exactly the way that they're doing now. I think if we have a better feel for what it is that we want to accomplish, staff can certainly take the lead and help write that report, as we do for other other GNSO and SAC activities. So my first inclination is that we may need to do a couple of a couple of other short pieces, as I did earlier, I guess maybe 2 weeks ago, to describe some of the alternatives that and means that people in other areas of communication have adopted to deal with multiple language, multiple character set issue. And so perhaps one of the things that I can do in my copious spare time in January is try to put down some notes about some of the requirements that have been mentioned here, so that we have a document to essentially add to and subtract from. I think one of the things we're struggling with, Edmund, is that we have such a broad remit and so many different questions to ask that we don't really have a focus point yet. And often, a couple of little point documents may help that.
Right. That seems to be the case, and that's sort of what I'm trying to drive at. And here's a, as you were talking about it, here's a some sort of a thought. And I'm just, really thinking out loud and throwing out to people. Perhaps what may be useful is if we can, out of this whole topic of internationalized registration data, if we can identify maybe three or four areas of specific concern, and then either we would break into subgroups to come up with sort of recommendations where and then staff could integrate the information. Or we would work on it completely as a group. That might help us focus the conversations, because it seems like every time we start on one path, You know, we're going around in a lot of directions and in a lot of trying to cover a lot of things on this broad subject.
Thank you, Edmund. This is Julie. I think that's a very helpful suggestion. How do we want to approach coming up with some, you know, identification?
So in my mind, there's at least a few things. You know, one of which is obviously the domain name itself, the IDN. Is there additional fields that should be displayed or for IDNs? That's definitely one area that should be considered. The other area that probably should be considered is whether, you know, it's blocks of data for each contact or blocks of data for each domain. The whole set of information in a separate language. So that might be another area. I'm just really, you know, thinking out loud here, but I think it may be useful for people on this call to suggest some of these sort of higher level topics, and perhaps a way to go forward is myself and Jeremy as the chairs between now and next meeting. To try to draft a set of these sort of broad areas where for the next meeting we could, you know, finalize on, and then from there on focus on discussion of these you know, 3, 4, or 5 areas which will eventually become the initial study. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so, and if you and Jeremy need some help, and or you want to offload some of the writing, sure. You know, I'm happy to, you know, to help out in that area, Edmund.
Oh, we're definitely going to need more help as we go about. But I'm just, you know, at this point, I think the it seems we've had a couple of meetings. It seems what might be useful is to have a list of topics, and so we can, you know, fit what we're talking about into those topics, and then we can have a more fruitful and constructive discussion. That's where my head is, and definitely we'll need everyone's help, and especially some staff as well.
Edmund, this is Julie. Would it be helpful if Dave, Dave, I don't want to volunteer you, but if Dave, you know, had the time to just start with a list of topics, send them to the list, and you know, just as a start, get the members of the working group to you know, then bounce back, you know, some ideas based on that initial list.
That would be perfect. I think that would be perfect. And, you know, between now and next meeting, we should have a draft set of, a small list. Right now I'm talking about a small list, 3, at most 5 areas that needs to be discussed. And then from there, of course, we will branch out into other things. But That I think would be most useful for us. So it would be great if Dave can you know, just throw that out to the list, and we can talk about it between now and next meeting, and try to make some decisions next meeting, and then either cut up the work or, you know, go about it together as a group, you know, depending on how the whole group pieces at that point, based on the list.
I think I can do that. I have about a page and a half of notes from comments that, you know, that Steve and you and a couple of people didn't actually offer their names, so I couldn't actually attribute the comments. Steve Crocker, so there were multiple Steves as well. So I can put together a couple of a description of what we've covered so far and what those and try to lump them into in bins or categories. And I'll try to do that. Well, we have to decide when our next meeting is, but I'll try to do that sometime, certainly before the end of the year.
Cool. In terms of that, are we settling on a biweekly meeting, Julie? Was that the discussion last week?
Edmund, this is Julie. I don't think we formally made that decision, but generally most of the working groups, unless there's a specific hard deadline that we're working towards, have been meeting on a biweekly basis.
Right.
That seems so far to be a schedule that works well with this working group, and of course now that we have the holidays coming up here, I think at least for the next meeting we probably want to wait 2 weeks, which would be the 4th of January for the next meeting. Do others have thoughts? So, Edmund, if that seems right
yes.
to you, we could stay with a biweekly schedule.
Right. I think it's quite useful to make it regular, and so far biweekly it seems to be working well. And from between now and next meeting, it's going to be the holidays, but the only thing that we're looking for to happen between this meeting and next is really a draft list of the items or bins or categories, however you call it, and then in the next meeting we can decide on them and actually break out the work. To me, that seems like a structured way. Right.
Dave, you had a comment?
I said I think that's manageable. I will try to get some time today or tomorrow to get a list to the list, and Julie can share what notes she's taken, and I can use them along with mine, and I think we'll have something out for people to at least start.
Right. This is Julie. Dave, thank you. I will actually summarize the discussion, today's discussion. I may not catch all of the technical issues quite accurately, but I think you'll be able to see what I've got, and I'll share those with you, Dave, and then perhaps that can be a basis between the two of us for an initial list, and then I'll send that out to the working group and ask for comments on the list. And then I'll summarize those comments, Edmund, and sort of see if I can prepare a summary prior to a meeting on the 4th of January.
I think that sounds good. I guess the question is, anyone else want to at least add their thoughts on both this approach and on whether some of the topics that you feel is pretty important that we, over the last couple of meetings, we have never touched on, so we don't miss anything in the next little while.
This is Julie. Edmund, I think I suppose we can take silence for agreement in this case. So for everyone on this call, then, we have an action item between Dave and I that we'll work on to collect the notes from this call and others and to produce a list that we'll send out to the email list. We will schedule a call for the same time, the 4th of January. And I... unless anybody has any other business they want to add today, is there any other business? Hearing none, I want to thank everyone for being on this call and Edmund for chairing. And I wish everyone a very, very happy holiday and a happy new year. And we'll see you or hear you all in the new year.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.